Give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I worship you. Praise God. Well, a heartfelt thank you to all of our guests for being here today. Appreciate you coming and honoring the Lord and honoring us with your presence. Amen. And we do our best to specialize in making sure that when people come to the house of God, they're going to receive something before they leave. This is what it's all about. Amen. We come and we offer to him our praise and our thanksgiving, and then he takes it over from there. You're never, never going to do more for God than what he does for you. You'll never come close to being able to give him a real thank you that even comes close to thanking God for the privilege and opportunity to be saved and born again of the water and the Spirit. That's so very, very important. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to chapter 1 of Revelation, couple of verses of scripture, 9 and 10, and then Revelation 4 and 1. Usually when you announce a text in Revelation, everybody thinks you're going to tell who the Antichrist is. Well, I've met several that I thought was a good candidate, but I haven't really decided yet just which one of them qualifies the most. Let's look in Revelation 1 and 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Pretty bleak circumstances described here by this good man. But he went on to say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It is possible to get in the Spirit. Things happen. Good things happen when you get in the Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1. Still Apostle John speaking. Amen. He was the author of the book of Revelation, the last of the apostles, and was thought to have been in his 90s before he passed away. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But anyway, pretty good evidence suggests that. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice, the one we just read about a moment ago, which I heard, was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. My, my, my. You know what I'm going to preach about today with God's help? Pursuing God's promises. Pursuing God's promises. Let's give thanks to the Lord for his word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence that's in this place. We ask God for your divine supernatural visitation. I pray, God, that you will build faith in those that are weak. God, that you will touch those that are sick, that you encourage those that are discouraged, that you will save those that are lost, that you will deliver those that are bound. Let your word go forth unhindered in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and everybody say amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Everything pertaining to the church that Jesus Christ established here on the earth is about growing up and becoming an adult instead of always being content to just be a baby or a small child in the kingdom of God. God is interested in maturity, spiritual maturity. And he is interested in the expanding of his kingdom. In other words, revival and growth and people being saved and brought into the kingdom of God. And then once you come into the church, God put a desire in you, if you hung on to it, that's always wanting to go higher and further in God than what you've ever been before. If you feel that way today, that's natural. That's normal. Amen. That's the way it needs to be. And there is a type of an event that took place when Israel was traveling from the land of Egypt, from bondage to the promised land. And this was in the 40th year of their travels. They're sitting or located in a place, Mount Seir, and the Bible says they compassed it around, or they went around and around that mountain. And the day came when the Bible says, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spake unto me, we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, this is Moses speaking, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. Amen. They were just fooling around, just burning time, I guess you would say. And here they were, so close to a promise they had pursued for 40 years. And they would seem like content just to fool around on that mountain. But God spoke and said, it's time to leave this mountain and go northward. Amen. Northward always points up. Right? Amen. So he was telling them, you're not where you need to be yet. I want to take you a little bit further where I can fulfill the promise. You see, he's not going to go get the promise and bring it to them. They got to go to where the promise is. And so, as they begin to pull up stakes and pack all their tents and all their gear together, break down the tabernacle again, amen, and make their way toward the north. You know, there must have been some excitement that was building in them because finally, you know, most of those people weren't even born when they left Egypt. Remember, everybody that was 20 years of age and older perished early on in the trip because they got there. You know, it was just not that long a distance, really, in the best route to go. And they got to the brink of where the promised land was. They sent in the spies, and then they sent one out for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. 10 of those spies come back, said, it is a great land. It flows with milk and honey, but it's full of giants, and there's no way we can do this. Amen. When we look at them in their sight, we're as grasshoppers. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? Some of you are pretty good size for you to be like a grasshopper. That'd be a big old boy. You hear me? Amen. But anyway, they were fearful, and they turned the hearts of the people. They filled their hearts with doubt and unbelief. And they said, we don't want to do this. We're not going to go in there and get our babies killed and our wives killed and on and on and on. We can't do this. We're going to do something else. And God was grieved with them. And he told them, he said, you're not going to enter into this because of your unbelief. And every one of you that's 20 years of age or older, you're going to die in the wilderness. So there was only two men over 20 years of age when this took place. That would have been over 40 years of age, rather, when they entered into the promised land. And that was Joshua and Caleb. The two spies that said, hey, just a minute, boys. People don't listen to these guys. They don't know what they're talking about. We're more than able to go in and take the country. But the nays prevailed. And God pronounced judgment upon them because of their sin of disobedience and mainly doubt. God hates doubt. Do you know why he hates doubt? Because it's the biggest insult you can give to God. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Amen. He's everywhere at the same time. Amen. Are you listening to me? And he's the one that created the heavens and the earth. Because of him, we're living today. Because of him, we enjoy life. Because of his goodness, we enjoy salvation. Why? Why would we dare to doubt that God can do what he said he would do? And not only if he can, but why would we doubt that he wouldn't do it? Amen. God is not only able, but God is willing. Amen. His promises are sure and steadfast. And God wants to fulfill his promises to his people. Amen. So there's some things in this I think we can apply to our life here as a church congregation, as a church family. And that is this, that we can get comfortable in our little comfort zone, our little Mount Seir. Amen. We can pitch our little tent there, and we're content just to sit right here, but that's not what God called us to do. Amen. If you're in your comfort zone today, you're in the wrong place. Amen. God wants us to be up and about the master's business. That's what Jesus came to earth. He said, that's what I'm here for. That's why he gave you his life, his spirit, shed his blood that you could be saved, is because he wants you to continue the work that he began here on earth. What God has in mind for the kingdom of God is bigger than one or two or three or five or a hundred can do. Amen. He needs everyone he can to sign on and not just come to church to see their friends or to be entertained or whatever else they may get out of it. Amen. But for us to be up and about the master's business, it's time to have the kind of revival that God wants us to have. Thank God for the souls that have come in over the last couple of months. It's been wonderful. It's been glorious. And in case you're wondering why, where everybody is today, we have had dozens of people in our church exposed to COVID-19 this past week from many, many sources. All of them that I know about so far was outside of our church. Amen. And so they are quarantining at home, and they're listening in right now. Most of them are listening to the live broadcast of this, and I want you to know that we are praying for you. Amen. We're believing that just a few days you're going to be out of that self-imposed quarantine and back with us in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, I just feel the Holy Ghost here. I feel like God wants to do something before we leave here this afternoon. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. You can either be a facilitator of it, or perhaps even one that gets to partake of it. Or beyond that, why not do both? Let's help facilitate a move of God, and let's be a partaker of what God wants to do before we leave this service today. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So what does that involve, getting out of your comfort zone? Well, you can't get out of your comfort zone sitting in a rocking chair. Amen. You can't get out of your comfort zone just sitting back and taking it easy. There has to be some effort. There has to be some energy. There has to be, things invested into what we're after. I'm just picking up some things. This is kind of, I've never done this before, but literally I have selected some things from messages that have been preached over this pulpit over the past several years where I felt like God really gave a message, a word to our church. And it all just kind of flows together here. So if you've heard me say some of these things before, I'm glad that you remembered it. That's a compliment. If you didn't, why? You're going to get to hear it again. If you heard it, and if you have heard it for the first time, you get to hear it for the first time. Amen. But it's things I think God really wants to help us understand. I know most of you have heard me preach about that river of life flowing out of heaven and how it become a big river and how you wade out in it. How many remember that? They measured 1,000, what do they call it? Cubits? About 18 inches. About from the tip of your finger to your elbow, that would be 1,500 feet in the type of measurements that we use. And he said, you waded out into this 1,500 feet. And guess what? It was up to your feet. Just covered your feet. And he said, the man came with the measuring line and somebody helped him and they measured out another 1,000 cubits, which is 1,500 feet. They're out there 3,000 feet from the bank. That's a big river. And guess what? You want to know how deep it is? To your knees. They measured out again 1,000 cubits and they waded out into it and it's up on their loins. And they measured again and it's to here. And they measured again, and it was waters, big waters, deep waters that you could no longer wade in. Amen. You finally got out in the stream where he wants you to be, and that's where the great fishes were living is what the Bible says. Amen. So listen to me just a minute. Have you ever tried to wade in a river or in a stream? There's currents to contend with. There's unsure footing that you have to deal with, and you have to be careful, and you never know. You kind of feel along so you don't step off in a hole. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Amen. You'd be foolish just to take off out there like, you know, that you knew everything about it. You find it takes time to wade through a stream of water. A moving stream of water is difficult to walk in. And what I'm trying to, reason why I'm bringing that up is you don't get from water on your feet to water deep enough for you to swim in by just a little bit of effort. Stop and think just for a moment. What is it? Four different measurements? Four times 15? That would be, let's see, 4,000, 6,000 feet. It'd be over a mile that you had to wade out to get into the stream where things were happening, where things, good things were taking place. Amen. And so it is. But to have the kind of move of God that we're hungry for, we're going to have to be willing to put forth a lot of effort. We're going to have to do a lot of waiting. You know, you may wait for 15 minutes and think, my goodness, I still got a little ways to go here to where that guy marked it off. And you're just kicking a little water along as you go. And you say, man, it ain't worth it. I'm gonna go back to the shore. Or I'm just going to sit down right here and play in this shallow water. I'm afraid that's what a lot of people have done. Amen. But there's something in my soul that's craving and crying out. Amen. For the deepest things of God that is possible for a human being here on the earth to enjoy. Is there anybody else feels that way? Am I alone? Or is there somebody here today that wants everything God has for you? I want to go as far with God as I can go. I want to hear him someday say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I want to be what he wants me to be. Praise God. What does that say right there? How many remember the message that prompted that banner? Amen. I want an Antioch church. Amen. I still want an Antioch church. Amen. The 13th chapter of Acts, you don't have to turn there. I'm not reading from there. But 13th chapter of Acts talks about the church at Antioch. And this is where they all came together and prayed and sent Paul and Barnabas on their very first missionary trip. And this particular church, even though there were many churches in existence at that time, the gospel had spread to a lot of different places. Persecution had driven people away from their home, and they had gone hither and yon finding places of relative safeness where they can go ahead and serve the Lord. And a little church, a colony here and here would pop up. So Antioch seems to be the gateway to the Gentile churches. And by Gentile churches, what I'm speaking of, it's a biblical terminology. It's talking about anyone that's not a descendant, a direct descendant of Abraham, is considered a Gentile. So it didn't matter whatever race or ethnic background or whatever, what language was spoken, we were all considered as Gentiles. And so when the Holy Ghost was poured out, guess what? It was all Jewish people that got it the first day, the first few months, for the first few years. Amen. But God had said that he was going to pour his spirit out upon what? All flesh. Like the song, Jesus loves the little children, red and yellow, black or white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the little children. Not only does he love the little children, he loves all their moms and dads and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandpas and grandma. God is no respecter of persons. God is colorblind. Amen. You know, the United States is not Israel. This is not the country that has where God has made this kind of like his headquarters. His headquarters is wherever his people meet together. Amen. And so, anyway, here's some strengths and some of the things that was unique about the church at Antioch. It was absolutely as close to a perfect church as you can find. In fact, there was no problems ever mentioned about the church at Antioch. There were problems at the church in Jerusalem. It was quite young, and they were the widows were arguing over whether they were getting their fair share or not, and they had to appoint 7 men to help serve them and keep all the trouble down. But they didn't have to do that in Antioch. I'm not trying to say that the church in Jerusalem was not a powerful church. It was the headquarters for a long, long time where God poured his spirit out. But what I'm trying to help us understand, this church at Antioch was a tremendous place and a tremendous lighthouse to all the Gentile nations. First of all, one of the things about the Antioch church is it was a spiritual church. What do I mean about spiritual? It allowed the Spirit of God to lead, to direct, to bless, to move, to minister. Amen. Sometimes we can get relying upon what we have studied, what we know, etc., and we don't allow the Spirit of God to take over and make its contribution that only the Spirit of God can make. How do I know it's a spiritual church? Because everything that came up, they got together and they fasted and prayed and they got an answer from the Lord. One of the gifts of the Spirit was exercised, and they were told by the Holy Ghost, amen, what God's will and purpose was. And so, not only that, they were a group of people, when they got together to seek the Lord, they fasted and prayed. And they were very sensitive to the will of God and obedient to whatever God told them to do. This was a great environment, amen, for a young preacher to grow up in and mature in. The Antioch church, number two, was a mature church. Amen. Spiritually sensitive, obedient to the will of God. As a mature, growing apostolic church, they had room for multiple ministries. There was teachers there. There was prophets there. There were pastors there. Amen. There was representatives of all the fivefold ministry, because this church was of quite a large place. And there was room for many, many different ministers to minister in that church. And many of them were probably doing the same thing that Paul was. He was Saul of Tarsus. He got the vision. He got the light. He got the revelation. He got delivered. He became a preacher, but he had to go somewhere that wouldn't try to hold him back because of his past background. He's the man that had led a lot of the persecution against the church. By his own words, he admits to causing people to be cast into prison, their homes and possessions taken away from them, and even many being executed for their belief in Jesus Christ. And after he was changed, God made a room for him. Barnabas accompanied him to the Antioch church, and that's where he spent a few years as he was maturing in his ministry. It was there that the people came together and they began to pray, because God was moving. God was wanting to do something different. And that is when the Spirit spake and said, I want you to lay hands on Barnabas and Paul, and I want you to send them out to do the work that I have called them to do. And of all of those that are mentioned in the Bible that we have any information on, no one came close to affecting the world for Jesus Christ as much as Apostle Paul did in his ministry. My. And so this church, being spiritually sensitive, being obedient to the will of God, and being a mature and a growing apostolic church, there was room for everyone. And their ongoing works was a testimony to their maturity. Number three, they were a nurturing church. I kind of covered that talking about Paul here. It was a safe place for Paul's ministry to develop. And all of these different ministers there showed that built this church to nurture ministers. You see, I'm going to tell you something. There's a large group in our church that feels a call to ministry, or feels that perhaps they have a call to ministry, and they're seeking the Lord, and we work with this group. There's 20 some young men in that group from this church and congregation, and I want our church to be the kind of church that can make a place for people that feel a call on their life and help them to mature and grow and become what God wants them to be. We've sent two missionaries out in the last few years, and one of them's home right now and can't get back to Africa because of the COVID-19 situation, but is just, just chomping at the bit to get back with him and his family to Johannesburg there in South Africa. But they're ministering, I think, in either 8 or 9 different countries. And so they want to get back. I'd love to see the day, if the Lord tarries, is coming, when we got 40 missionaries on the field. Amen. We've started works in Mexico In Old Mexico, I got to be there. I think it's been like 3 or 4 weeks since I was there. And we got to dedicate one building, one church, preach at another church. So God do some wonderful, wonderful things. And the work is just, it's unbelievable how rapidly it's spreading, how much it's expanding. And so good things are happening, but not near enough. Amen. So what I'm calling this church to do is, you know, I use young preachers up here from time to time. A lot of them do their maiden voyage right here. Most of the time they get to preach in a power hour for the children, or they get to preach maybe in a chapel service for the school, or this or that or the other. But boy, you can tell they're really nervous when they get up here. And if they weren't, I'd probably tell them to sit down, because they're not taking it seriously enough. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. It's not a light thing for God to ask you to preach the word. You got to make sure you're preaching the word. And you better make sure you're preaching the word at the time God wants you to preach a particular the word. You know, what he wants you to preach for that time. And so we don't take it lightly. But what I want to say here is a church has to be patient and understanding when we're working with people that are growing into a calling, a ministry that God has called them to. We want them to develop and become what God wants them to be. Don't be making fun of them or mocking them if they make a mistake. Amen. Anybody can make a mistake. I make mistakes. Amen. And if, after preaching 55 years, if I make mistakes, then every one of these people here, everybody here today that preaches, you've got a license to make a mistake. Amen. Because God has been kind and merciful. Now, the Antioch church was a generous church. They raised a sacrificial offering for the churches at Jerusalem when they were suffering from famine, and they sent it to them by Paul and one of the other disciples. When Paul and Barnabas left on their first missionary trip, you just have to know that the Antioch church didn't pray over them and prophesy over them and tell them to go and say, and when you get there, God will fill your pockets with money. No, they financed them and took care of them. Amen. So again, to wrap up, some of the things I like about the Antioch church is, number five, it was a sending church. They sent out people to obey God and to fulfill their ministry. And it's amazing here that they sent their most promising minister out. You know, nowadays people want to hang on to folks that's got promise. You know, oh, that person, I think they're going to really do something for God, but we need to keep them here. No, we got to be willing to let people go wherever God calls them. Wherever God sends them, we need to let them go. Could you say amen? Amen. Amen. So, I'm going to wrap this up now. To make it real, real personal, we need individually to get a vision and a revelation of what God is planning for Tulsa Lighthouse Church moving forward. I know we've got 4 daughter works that have come out of this church, and I thank God for that, but we need 10 times that many. How are you going to reach this metropolitan area just sitting in a few spots? Amen. I know there's such a thing as the mega church, and I'm not wanting a mega church. I want many churches. Amen. Because we can affect more neighborhoods and more families and so forth and so on. So here's how you do it. Here is the key. Here's the secret. Do you know how you get into a place that God can talk to you and show you what his will, what his purpose, what the vision is that he has for you and for the church that you're a part of? You want to know how you do it? You have to get in the spirit. Back to our scripture text. John said, stop just a moment here and consider with me. How many of you have ever read the book of Revelation all the way through? Huh? How many have read the book of Revelation at any time, any part of it? It's interesting, isn't it? It's scary, isn't it? Amen. There's parts of it that make you scratch your head and say, man, I hope I'm not here when all that happens. How many have read it and said, oh, Jesus, come quickly, Lord. Amen. What we've got to be able to do is to reach that place like John did when God said, come up hither. Do you know what God's calling us to do? Come up hither or come up higher. Okay, there's only so much that you can see from this perspective. Just a certain amount, just so much. Amen. But if you get as high as this ceiling is and looks down, you can see a whole lot more. If you get up there, what John said, I was in the spirit of the Lord today, and he talks about all the things that God showed him about the seven churches of Asia Minor. He goes through all of that in chapters 2 and 3. And then chapter 4, number 1, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice as the one before, like a trumpet. And I thought you had it up there where everybody was staring at. Go ahead and put it up there. Revelation 4:1. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. My goodness. And what happened? A door in heaven opened. Back up to 1. I'm not through talking about it yet. Thank you. He said a door was open in heaven. What does an open door mean? It means welcome. Come on in. And he said, I saw this open door, and the first voice, which I heard as if it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up higher, and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. The Spirit of God has sent every one of us, come up higher. Come up higher. Amen. There's things God wants to show us. There's things that God wants to do for us. Amen. There are people that God wants us to reach out to. Amen. But we've got to get the burden. Get out of your comfort zone. Amen. Quit waiting on somebody else to carry the load and do all the work. And I know you're a working church. You're still tired from probably helping us with the ministerial conference we just had last week. Not this past week, but the week before. And my, you did such a wonderful job. But let's keep on pushing. Let's keep on working. Amen. What happens when you're in the spirit? It brings you up above earthly circumstances. Amen. You can get down. Oh, if you get down low enough and look ahead, even an anthill kind of looks like a small hill, a small mountain, doesn't it? Amen. But when you stand up, it's nothing. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when you get in the spirit and God lifts you up into that heavenly realm and a door is open for you, and you're invited to come in, and then the Spirit begins to talk to you and minister to you, you'll never be the same. I said, you'll never be the same again. Amen. Because something has been awakened in you that you can't shut it off. You can't stop it. Amen. You have come into that hallowed place where you're in the Spirit. Amen. When that happens, the voices of the world become dim. Amen. And you can hear the voice of God speaking. Come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. Amen. I'm pleading with you today. I'm entreating you. If it would help, I would get down on my hands and knees and beg you, amen, to hear the word of the Lord and make up your mind today. I want to go higher. Quit stewing about the past and let's get excited about the future. What God's going to do. God's got a work for everyone here today to do. Amen. If you're a guest, I'm glad you're here. I'm sure that God had his hand in it, and you're not here by accident. And God's trying to tell you that Come on up a little higher. I got more for you. Amen. He's telling me that. And I have just celebrated recently 55 years of preaching the gospel. 50 years I have served as a pastor in three different churches. This church here, we started 40 years ago. And I've been the pastor here for 40 years now. 40 and a half years that we started this in 1981, in January of 81. And God's done a lot of great things and wonderful things. But I feel like, amen, before I check out, he wants to put the capstone on it of the things that he promised me when I came here. You may find it difficult to believe. And perhaps if I was sitting where you are and you were standing where I am, I might be a little skeptical of you. But God spoke to me in January of 1981 and told me to return to this city where I was born and raised and to start a church and to do it immediately. And he showed me a lot of things in that vision. It was a vision, a complete vision. And I thought about what Saul did when he testified before King Agrippa. And he told about that heavenly vision he had. And he said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Now, I haven't done near as much as I would like to do or as much as I want to do. But I've given it my very best now. Amen. To see the gospel spread here in Tulsa and surrounding areas. Usually, I visit 2 to 4 places, international, and minister in various parts of the world. I have a great burden for missionaries. In my mid-50s, God was dealing with me about the mission field. I fasted, I prayed, I sought God. I was asking him what field he wanted me to go to. And God spoke to me and said, I want you to stay where you are. I want you to be a facilitator. Facilitator. I've done my best to be obedient to that heavenly vision. Amen. God's made it possible for this church to help many, many places around the world. And we're just getting started. I said, we're just getting started. God's going to make a way that surprises you. I said, he'll make a way that surprises you. My wife and I had only been married a few months. We were starting a little church down in Beggs, Oklahoma. We married a little early, according to how most people marry nowadays. We were 20 years of age when we married. 20 years of age. We moved to a little country town not far from here called Beggs. And there we began to minister and try to do a work for God. Not too long after we were there, we came back home to the home church where I grew up here in Tulsa. And there was a missionary by the name of John Lambeth. And he was a missionary to the country of Brazil. He had been in Brazil a few years, maybe just 2 or 3 or 4 years. And there was a government coup. And he had to leave there as others did that were not citizens of that country. And finally, it was opening back up, and he was going to be able to go back to that field that God had called him to, and he was speaking that night. And I remember so vividly how that his appeal, how it tugged on my heart. I wept and I cried. And my wife had some money in her purse that had been given to us. It was some tithing money. And I think, do you remember how much it was, honey? Was it $750, $850, somewhere along in that vicinity? And we had been praying that God would give us some money so we could buy some furniture for the little house that we were living in. And this was in 69, so $700, $800 go a long ways in 1969 compared to today. And both of us turned and looked at each other. And both of us said, let's give this money to this missionary. And we gave everything we had. And I wept and cried because that's all we had to give. And I told the Lord, I said, God, if you ever see fit to bless me financially, I promise you that it will not belong to me. It'll belong to you, and I'll give it to whoever you say to give it to. And I have tried to live by that. I don't even know why I brought that up. I'm not trying to boast or brag. I'm just telling you, this is a burden I've had forever. A desire to see the gospel of Jesus Christ preached around the world, that everyone would have the same opportunity that I've had to know true Bible salvation. I wonder if there's anyone here today that's feeling God tug on your heart, pulling on you. Don't you think we can do more? Don't you think we can do more in our neighborhood, our neighbors, friends, family, co-workers, people we meet, places of business, places we go? Let's talk to God right now. Oh, precious Lord, help us today, God. Oh, God, I want to do your will. I want to fulfill your purpose that you called me. Stand together, please. Is there anyone that God's talking to right now that wants to draw closer to God? That wants to go a little higher? Is there anyone that's never made a start for God and you'd like to start your journey today? I invite you to come forward. Oh, Jesus, in thy name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.